last week in our communion service, we read the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "This do in remembrance of me." And the Lord, in giving me the subject for this Sunday's message, gave me one word: remember. And I didn't know where He wanted me to go with it. But I started looking in the book at things that talked about remembering. And as I studied, it became very obvious to me that God has found out, because in one place, in a little obscure place in the Word, if there is such a thing, because I don't know if there's any obscure places in the Word, because some of the real gems come from those little places in the book where not many people spend their time. But he said that he's found that people are bad from the time they're born. I guess he learned that from experience. Maybe, I don't know, sometimes it's hard to hang some of these things on God using our terminology and the way we would use it. But that it became obvious that God knows that we are a people who tend to forget. The Israelites, His chosen people, the people He called out and decided that He would give a place to, and they would be His people, and He would be their God, they forgot continuously. And we see in the Old Testament scriptures that God is constantly in the business of trying to create situations to where His people would remember. Remember what? Remember all kind of things. But it all comes down to one thing. He says, "I am. I am." And we're to remember that. But in other places, in Genesis 9:16, we see that He told us to remember the rainbow. It says there that He made a covenant with all flesh that He would never destroy the world again with water like He did. In Exodus 13, it talks about the Passover. The reason for the Passover celebration was to remember how God brought His people out of Egypt. And when the death angel was going through Egypt, killing all the firstborn, that the firstborn of Israel were saved. In Numbers chapter 15, in verse 37, the Lord told Moses to tell His people, the Israelites, to put a blue fringe on their coat borders to remember to do the commandments that He had given them and to be holy. You remember the phylacteries in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, where they would take a little piece of leather, write scripture on a little piece of paper or parchment or whatever it was, and roll it up in this little piece of leather and tie it. And they would put it on the little children's foreheads to where the band went around their head, and this little short string held this little round thing with scripture in it, just about as big as your little finger. And all day, when they played and when they did whatever they were doing, it was tapping them on the head for them to memorize scriptures. The scripture that was in that thing. They hung it on their wrist and they hung it on their forehead. And they said by the time a young man was 12 years old, he pretty much knew the Scriptures. That is the extent that they went to that caused children to remember. In Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 9, Moses told the Israelites, remember what the Lord God did to Miriam. And so many people in the South do not know about that story. I think it's kind of neat. When I found it, it brought about a great change in me, because a lot of people didn't know that Moses' second wife was a black woman. And when he married this woman from Cush, Miriam, his sister, had a fit. And she went to Aaron, his brother, and they both had fits, and they both went to Moses. And God struck her with leprosy. And Moses went and pleaded with the Lord, because leprosy in those days was a sentence of death. And he told him, says, you care, tell her to go to the priest and go through the cleansing process and she'll be okay. And she was. In Psalms 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, David says. In Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 60, God says, I will remember my covenant. He's talking to his children Israel after they've just done something really, really bad. And he's reminding them, it doesn't matter what you do, what I have promised to do, I will do. I'll keep my covenant with you. And in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, he tells Ezekiel to tell the Israelites, you remember the evil that you've done. I didn't know until I studied about remembering that in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 10, the sign of the Sabbath, he gave his people the regulations concerning the Sabbath, that is, the Jews, the Israelites, in order that they wouldn't forget him and what he had done for them and what he was in the process of doing for them. And that brings us then to Mark chapter 8. In verse 14. It says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the boat with them more than one loaf. Now a loaf of bread in the Bible, y'all, is like a muffin or a biscuit or something. It's not, I mean, you can't make 10 sandwiches out of it. It's just like a biscuit. Neither had they in the boat with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? What's he talking about? We don't understand. Why did he say that? Of course, in the Bible, the leaven is sin. It's a symbol for sin. And that's what he was telling them. Avoid the sin of the Pharisees. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, seven. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? He's telling them to remember the things that I've done. Did you get the point of what I was trying to do? And it's obvious, no, they didn't. But I tell you this, folks, with all those hundreds of years of God trying to do something to keep His people remembering what He had done for them and who He was, now we got a new deal. And I praise God for my new deal. It's not dependent on me anymore that I have to remember all the stuff that I need to remember to please God. And I thank Him for that. If you'll turn to John chapter 14 and verse 26. In the Old Testament, nobody had the Holy Spirit to indwell them in a permanent fashion like He does with us today. The Holy Spirit came on assignment and helped God's people do this thing or that thing, and when the job was over, the Holy Spirit went back. Now, those folks in the Old Testament had to believe in God with the same faith that we do. It was faith at the bottom of every one of them that was called godly men. You remember Abraham, when God told him to get all his flocks and herds and his family and get up and move. I mean, he started packing that day. He was doing what a being told him to do that he had never seen before. None of his neighbors had ever seen him before. Nobody around him had a clue. He didn't have anybody he could go to and say, this is happening to me, how do I need to handle it? And he was a man of very, very great wealth. He was like Noah. Noah spent 125 years building an ark, and I am confident that that ark was on the ramp of the interstate that went to the biggest city around. Everybody that went to town had to pass by Noah building on that ark. And you know what he was building it for? To protect himself and his family and the animals from rain. And what a lot of people don't realize, up until that time on the earth, it had never rained. They didn't know what rain was. They said, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Well, why do you need a boat out here on dry land? Well, it's going to start raining. It's going to start doing what? Water's going to start falling out of the heavens, and it's going to cover everything and drown everybody. Well, what kind of an idiot are you? Moses just kept on working. Why? Because God had told him to. But who is God? Well, it's a being that told me to do it. And now, God made a way that when we come to Him in salvation, God puts the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, excuse me, in our hearts forever. He stays there. He lives there. He abides there. And in verse 26 in chapter 14 of John, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall, number one, teach you all things, and number two, bring all things to remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. You see, I don't have to remember it anymore. The Holy Spirit causes me to remember. That's one of His jobs, to teach me all things that God, that Jesus has said, and to bring to my remembrance every single thing He said. What is everything He said? This. That's just something I've learned. Our minds are something like a computer. You've got to put information in to get information out. If you don't know anything about the Bible, how can God bring to your remembrance what's in it? What was said? What Jesus said? What God said? What anybody said? Unless you know something about it. That's the reason, as a child of God, we need to acquaint ourselves with this book. Now the question that I have for me and you and all of us, do you forget? I used to have a sign in my office that says when you're up to your neck in alligators, it was hard to remember that you came to drain the swamp. And that's the way we are. When we get in a jam, the first reaction we have is just to go into a tizzy. Did you catch the demeanor of Jesus when he's talking to his disciples? Don't y'all remember? Didn't you get it? So I'm asking you this. How long have you been a Christian? How long have you had a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? How long have you been dealing with the Holy Spirit that indwells the inside of you? How well do you know it? How well do you recognize the voice of God speaking through the Holy Spirit? Have you learned to wait on the Holy Spirit for Him to speak to you and to tell you things to do and how to do it and when to do it? In Luke chapter 11, in verse 11, there's a verse there that Anthony bared down on several Thursday nights ago, and it hadn't got more than 4 feet away from my mind since he did. There is a promise here that covers everything about us spiritually. In verse 11, if a son should ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give a fish? For a fish, give him a serpent. Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil. Now there's a point. I'm evil. It's in me. I've been that way since I was born. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You want to get closer to God? You want to learn more about Him? You want to know God? Is it your desire to do that? Then you pray that God will give you the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it says when you do that, He will give it to you. It's not like other prayers. You know, I don't know whether it's going to be answered or not. No, this one is answered. So what do? Starting out a new year. God is not bound by time, okay? That, to me, we studied that one time several years ago, and that, to me, is still an astounding idea. That God is not bound by any kind of time. He doesn't look at His watch and say, I've only got 10 minutes to get over, I better hurry. None of that. A year to Him, it's like 1,000 years. A day is like 1,000 years. Time doesn't mean anything. But it does to us. You remember in in Ecclesiastes when he talks about that for everything there's a season? He knows we got that problem. He knows we've got those kinds of limitations. And he deals with us based on those limitations. So, is there a little easy thing that you can write down on a card and keep in your pocket that can make you more spiritual? Five easy ways. Hey, you've heard that on TV. We've got an easy way to lose 200 pounds. We've got an easy way to do this, to do that, to do this, to that. And if you'll just buy our product, it'll make things so easy you wouldn't believe. Well, I'll say to you, yes, in a way, there is an easier way than some of the ways we're doing. And number one, we pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. That should be on the prayer of, on the lips during the prayer of every single committed Christian there is. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. We need to pray to understand God's will. We pray for boldness to act for God. We pray for the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's an interesting thing about that. It's not fruits. It's fruit. Fruits, the fruit of the Spirit is not a plural word. It's a singular word. And I suppose that means that when you get the Spirit, you get all of it. That you don't get this one, then you get that one, and then you get this one, and 2 years later you get this one. They all come together. But it says we're a new creation, so why wouldn't it? We need to pray for opportunities to serve. We need to pray and ask God, give me an opportunity to be a testimony for you to somebody else. And, Lord, please, while you're doing that, pray that He will let you recognize the fact that He's in the middle of what's going on and that you have a responsibility in that area. This guy didn't just happen into your life. How long have I wondered, and some of you out here have been in that spot, that when the Lord sent me a horse to train, I wondered, what am I supposed to do with the people that brought it? Are they supposed to be a part of my ministry some kind of way or not? What about it? That's the way God works. He uses whatever line you happen to be in, whatever path you happen to go today, whatever your normal routine is, He puts people in that path and that routine that will run against you, that will bump into you, that you'll see every day or so. Now let me ask you this, and this is a question I ask myself continuously, and it's tough. If the Lord had somebody He wanted saved, could He put him in my proximity and get that done? If He's talking in heaven and He says something to the angel, we need to get this guy saved over here, well, send him by this guy or send him by that guy. It'll be taken care of. Could God trust you with that? Do you see God in people who come into your path that ordinarily don't come that way? And it's amazing. You don't have to stop them, grab them by the arm, sit them down, and read them the four spiritual laws or the Romans road to heaven. You don't need to do that. All you need to do first is let them know that you serve God. That's all. I've gone in a store for week after week after week, and one day when I happened to be in there and somebody pulled me off to the side and said, you come in here and you talk about God from time to time, and I've got a question. Would you mind answering me this question from the Bible? Be glad to. Starts a relationship, you wouldn't believe. A lot of people don't know that right up here at Wilton, this little corner store is owned by people from Vietnam. He was a marine diesel mechanic. He smuggled 62 people out of Vietnam to protect them from the communists. He got one of his half of one of his feet cut off in the process. He's got some stories, that little bitty guy has got some stories that you wouldn't believe. But a church in Springville sponsored them coming to the United States. This man goes to Kentucky 3 days out of every month to a Vietnamese language seminary up there and turns in his work and does all his college work and then comes back with all kind of stuff he does with correspondence and on the computer. You could be in there from now on and never know that unless you brought up something about the Lord. And when they see that they could trust you a little bit, and you're maybe one of them, then they'll share it with you. And as soon as they see that it's a good thing, then you hear it every time you go in there. That's an encouragement. You know, his wife told me, she said, you know, when we go back, we have to pay people under the table to let us in the country. And the communist boss who took my home away from me sits on the front porch, and when I walk down the street by it, he just turns his head the other way. And they're going back over there. And you know what they said? There's enough people sent to the cities, they want to go to the mountains and the villages where nobody's being sent. So you see my point. It's all around us, y'all. But you won't be involved in it if you don't say something. You have got to introduce people to the fact that you serve Jehovah God. In some kind of little way, you do that. And we need to pray for patience to wait on God. Because the thing is, and you see it happening so much in churches, people are put under pressure to do something for God. I've said it before. It's all about doing, but it's not all about doing. It's about being. And if you will be what God wants you to be, God will send you something to do. You don't have to go out and find something to do, because we need to understand that activity is not necessarily achievement, even if it's done in the church. You need to be doing what God called you to do, not just something, and not something to please people who want you to work. Patience to wait on God. Now, there are a few things that we're told to remember in the New Testament, not like the Old Testament. In Galatians 2:10, we're told to remember the poor. That's a big thing with Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to turn there. If you want to turn in chapter 13 from verse 1 to 3, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Hear what it says? Entertaining strangers. People have entertained angels and they weren't even aware of it. So, you know, you be hospitable. Suppose God sends an angel by your house just to see how you will respond. And I'm going to tell you this. He's not going to be dressed nice and looking good either a lot of times. He's going to look like somebody, if you passed him on the road, you wouldn't pick him up. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them who suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Remember people that are in bonds, that are in jail, and remember the poor. That's the two things we're told to remember. And in 1 Peter, just a few verses over, a few pages over to the right, 1 Peter chapter, or 2 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 1 and verse 3. according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, by which are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established in the present truth. Yea, I think it is fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, and talking about in his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Paul says, as long as I'm in this body, even though you know it, I'm going to constantly remind you and remind you and remind you and remind you of these things that Jesus has said about what we ought to be. In chapter 3 of the same book, in verse 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He's saying again, remember what the prophets said and remember what we said. Remember what Jesus said is what he's saying. So what are the points here? What is the point of all of this? That you remember what God has already done for you? Why would you be scared or concerned or have fear or frustration or worry looking back on what God has done for you? Can you think of a time when he let you down? That you can't think of a time when it was your fault that you caused it? Remember what his promises are for us in the future. I go through the Bible writing down promises. Every time I run into one, I write it down in this little book. Because you see, a promise is something I can hold God to. Anthony talked about something here not long ago. It's a sin because we don't expect. He said, if you tell a kid, we're going to go to McDonald's tonight and I'm going to get you a big old soda, a big old ice cream cone or something like that. Come nightfall, don't you think you're not fixing to hear about that again? Because when you tell a child that you're going to do something for them, they're going to see to it you're going to do it. And you know what? There's not a thing in the world with us doing that to. Lord, you said you'd do this, and I'm sitting here waiting on it. He said he was coming back. And he said there is a crown just for those people who look for him to come back. There are 7 crowns in the Bible. There are 7 crowns listed in the Bible that you will get in heaven for the things that you did down here as a Christian. And of those 7 crowns, one of them is for simply looking for Jesus to come back. Will it be today? This would be a good day for him to come. And in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 9, listen to this. He told Isaiah, remember the things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Can you hear in that little statement the mind of God? Why does it say that He picks people who are not noble or rich or powerful? Because He don't want them competing with Him for the glory. There's one thing about your God you need to understand. He's not playing around about who gets the credit. That's something God does not play around with. And He tells us over and over and over, I am God, and there's not another. You know, Paul said, I am convinced that there's nothing about an idol. You know, they talk about idols. The worshiping of idols is all about your mind. You can take this cup here and make it an idol if you want to. Does that mean it's a God? No. No. There's only one God. And that's Jehovah God. Regardless of what's going on in your mind. And He says, I am God. And there is no one like me. You want to make God happy? Make sure you tell people that. He says, I am, and there's none like me. And He says, I am, and I'm the only one. If we can go into this new year, and here again now, understand something, y'all. I'm scared to death of a vow, okay? I don't vow. I did that one time. I'll never do it again. And I found a scripture about vowing. You know, Lord, if you would just do this, I'll do this. And then things start going real good. And after a bit, you forget about it and you don't do what you said you'd do. And you know what? God doesn't forget. And the first thing you know, you get in trouble. And it seems like every way you turn, you're in trouble. And then you start trying to figure out what is going on. Why am I in trouble? And then you remember, you pray and ask, and God brings it to your mind. You know, you vowed that you was going to do this. He says it's better not to make a vow than it is to make a vow and break it. So I'm telling you this, if you find yourself in a position where you have made a vow, if you don't get in trouble, do what you said you'd do. But we're at the first time of the year, like I said. We are bound by boundaries. And this time of the year, we have a tendency to make commitments. And that would seem to be a very good thing to me to make a commitment to do. Lord, I'm going to pray this year that You will fill me with Your Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we look to the prospects of this new year, and we're excited, Lord, to see what's around the corner in our relationship with You. Help us to be an instrument for You that we might bring about Your will here on this earth. For some reason, You've chosen to do that. Just like this man that Buddy was talking about a while ago. If we will make ourselves available, Lord, we know that You'll do all kind of great things with us if that's Your will for us. So, Lord, we ask You, make people available. Move them to be available. Have them pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we'll be very careful for whatever happens after that and because of that to give You the praise and the honor and the glory. Amen.